Grandmama and the Bomb, a short story written by Malcolm Atherson, voiced and produced by Phil Johnson. Oh, by the way, a warning. While listening to this, ensure that all smart speakers are not in listening mode. You have no doubt heard the phrase early adopter. By extension, therefore, you will be aware of the phrase late adopter. Well, let me add to your knowledge of this nomenclature and introduce you to the never adopter, a title that suited Grandmama exactly. Grandmama never did adopt nor adapt to communication technology. She always managed somehow, one way or another, to squirm around the need to use it. For instance, Grandmama really did not like telephones, and it seemed, well, according to Grandmama, that telephones did not like her either. Computers, of course, were an abhorrence, and the only reason there was a telephone and electric lights in her cottage was because I made her have them, a battle that made the War of Jenkins' Ear look like an easy afternoon in a plastic surgery theatre. She would state quietly and with complete conviction that she knew the telephone was listening. "It knows I'm here," she would say, although there was no indication anywhere about what a telephone or even many telephones would do with that knowledge, nor why or they would be interested anyway. Mutual antipathy, then. When I suggested to her that she have the telephone removed, I know, white flag wave. Grandmama looked at me as if I had suggested the end of the world was nigh. "Hold your friends close," she would say, "and your enemies closer." A touch Machiavellian, but that was Grandmama all over. Grandmama is in her late 80s, and yes, agreed, a person is allowed to exhibit a little harmless madness at that age. Just a small foible or two, something no more noticeable than many other weirdness in a world full of weird, and from any wider perspective, of no great import. Certainly, sentient, or even just knowledgeable telephones, and possibly other amazing happenings, were not witnessed by anyone, well, anyone who would confess to being a witness to the experience, and of course by Grandmama, who would have witnessed for the Jehovah's, if she thought it would have forwarded her case. This localized small insanity would have continued for as long as Grandmama continued to continue, until, that is, she decided to do something about it. What followed seemed in my head to start in the local co-op. I saw Grandmama in deep conversation with the store manager and smelled a rodent. Grandmama really did not do small talk. I nonchalantly sidled up, via washing powder, wine and tonic water, until I was next door, so as to speak. In retrospect, it could not have been more obvious. I'm a bit big, and sidling is not a strong point, but no one noticed, and if they did, was certainly not going to say anything. What? And cause a fuss? In any case, there were fire lighters and deep cleansing dog shampoo between me and the discussion. "Well," said the store manager, "I don't see how I can help." She and Grandmama had known each other for a long time. Grandmama used to teach year one at the village school, and the store manager and at least half the village had passed through Grandmama's hands, so as to speak. "There isn't a product that does that as far as I know, but I'll check on the computer if you like and maybe head office. They might know." Grandmama drew her breath in sharply. "No," she said. "If you tell the computer, it will know, and then tell my telephone. Best leave it." This seemed only a small, almost innocent extension to Grandmama's illusions. Pondering the vagaries of elderly minds, while supposedly and outwardly assessing one deep cleansing dog shampoo against another, especially when one does not have a dog, is neither an easy nor a productive exercise. So I moved back down the aisle, and as part of my deep cover, picked up a Merlot and some washing powder on the journey. Grandmama wanted to solve a problem that only she could see. However, she needed to use the cause of the problem to solve the problem. I can't put it any clearer than that. On the one hand, Grandmama had the problem of believing she lived with an eavesdropping telephone, one that probably had access to every other communication device in the realm. On the other hand, finding a solution, if there was one to be found, meant asking a question or two of the very technology that in her mind was the problem. The result would almost certainly be that Grandmama's phone would find out. What might happen after that is an unknown, and I wish it had remained so. At this stage, the issue in my mind starts to go elliptic. I did ask, however. Grandmama was unclear as to what would happen. The telephone's opinion was not available. The impasse was cramping Grandmama's style. Okay, if not her style, then certainly her general conversation. It soon became the only subject she would, and I suspect, could discuss coherently or otherwise. So there you have it. One slightly eldritch and elderly lady and her possibly unique belief system doing no harm to anyone, unless you call boring people to death harmful. People started avoiding Grandmama. Grandmama always had the basics of good scientific analysis in her bones. She was also a very intelligent woman. When going through her effects, I came across a letter from Mensa inviting her to join that institution. The date on the letter indicated that Grandmama must have been in her late teens. Now that's impressive. She was also a curious person in every sense of the word, including having the curiosity of a Pandora. And whilst curiosity may or may not have done for the cat, after all, nine lives is a lot of curiosity, it certainly did it for Grandma. Where was I? Oh, yes, belief or otherwise in apparent non-sentient machines listening in. Grandmama had learned about Siri and Alexa. At first, she did not quite believe that such things existed, but somehow the store manager opened up this world of talking and listening machines to Grandmama. The store manager expected Grandmama to go ape shit, her phrase, not mine, but Grandmama didn't. All she said was, well, can it be switched off? The store manager did not know, but had heard that they came with an off switch, but that it didn't work. Grandmama's only comment after that was something about the ghost in the machine. As far as Grandmama was concerned, it was all completely invidious. Obviously, this was a further aspect of the hypothetically listening telephone. The infiltration of the village's communication system was worse than Grandmama had suspected. Grandmama started to read up on the philosophy and practice of logic, in particular computer logic. Did I mention she was very intelligent? And now it seems, possibly for the first time in her life, she had found a use for that intelligence. Grandmama took months over that, with the post person complaining about the weight of books that were being delivered. I would visit every few days. One could not visit more frequently, without being blasted for being an interfering busybody with anything more useful to do. I had left off visiting it for 5 days, and found Grandma slumped over the kitchen table. I picked her up and put her on the sofa in the living room. She was as light as a feather, and obviously very frail. A cup of tea with a generous slug of whiskey revived her a little. I looked at her, and she winked back at me. "I've done it," she whispered with a faint smile. I raised a querying eyebrow. "Designed a verbal paradox bomb," she said. "I set it free last night on Alexa. I don't think Siri or Alexa will work anymore, anywhere." And my beloved Grandmama breathed her last. Up to a point, Grandmama was correct. For a while, neither Siri nor Alexa worked in the village. There was a technical explanation, but it's much easier to think of them being burned out. Mind, once you replace the mechanism and the software, they came back outwardly as unchanged as ever. Still and all, I've not bothered with replacing my version. Nor, for that matter, the house phone, nor my mobile. One avoids a lot of useless communication. I wonder what she said.